I got a little bit of a journey that we're going to go on this evening. And it is coming out of this teaching that I'm doing on hearing God better. And it's going to be a complementary teaching that I will be doing on Wednesdays that's going to go in line with Sunday morning. As I was seeking the Lord early this morning, it was like this has to go along with this, because there are so many in the body of Christ, so many people that are believers in the Lord that need to get a hold of a delegated truth or an imparted reality that God has given to us that they don't realize that it is theirs. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So Heavenly Father, I am so blessed by your revelation and your mysteries that you make known to us from a simple passage that we probably all here have read at one time or another. But yet when we stop and we take stock in what your word says, that when we, as it says in the book of Psalms, on some of those Psalms where there's that pause or that refrain where the word Selah is used, where you encourage us to just stop for a moment, reflect on what is said, so that we can gather in what you have for us before moving on. So teach us, Lord, to not just be readers of your word, but meditators, Lord God, those who learn to meditate, those who stop and dig out and mine out the riches of yourself. It speaks of you, Jesus, as the unsearchable riches of Christ. In other words, we'll never come to the end, Lord God, of knowing the vastness of yourself that you have done for us in Jesus. But it's not going to stop us, Lord God, from digging in. So I would just ask that you would grant clarity and understanding this evening as we look, Lord God, at a subject just simply titled, Blessed by God. Give us an understanding of that. Cause a reality of this truth to become ours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if any person here was to be asked, do you want to be blessed? What would be the response probably from every single person here? Yes. I mean, who wants to be cursed? Right? We want to be blessed. But the reality is that we will see this evening, we're going to look at passages of Scripture that there has already been the reality of it imparted to us. It has already been deposited within us. And I will show you the passages of Scripture that deal with this. And once conferred, once a blessing is conferred and given, it cannot be reversed. It can be thwarted. It can be hindered. It can... If a person is a king and chooses to live as a pauper, that is their choice. They have all the rights and privileges of a king. But if he does not know what has been given to him, if he does not know the blessing of that position, if he does not know the rights thereof and still chooses to live contrary to that, then they are allowed to do so, but they don't have to. And there are things that God wants us to know that his word tell us that have been conveyed to us or deposited or given to us that he wants us to have a greater assurance of. Because when we have a greater assurance of certain truths of God's word, we will begin to have a clearer understanding how God communicates to us and that he desires to communicate to us. And it doesn't have to be static. It doesn't have to be a wrong channel. It doesn't have to be hit and miss. So this teaching of blessed by God versus people that are still living under a lot of the influence of this world of the devil or of their old person, their old thinking, certain things that are entrenched with inside the psyche or the soul that seem to try to dominate or push out or try to supersede that which God has invoked upon us as believers in Jesus. The Word of God tells us here in Deuteronomy, and as you know, the Apostle Paul quotes a portion of this passage in Romans chapter 10. So he takes a portion of Deuteronomy chapter 30, and he quotes it in Romans chapter 10, indicating that this very word that was spoken by Moses from God to the children of Israel is also a word made known and conferred to us. And the part that the Apostle Paul begins to quote, he starts in verse, I have marked here, in verse 11, and he says, "This commandment which I command you this day, it is not too mysterious for you." In other words, it's not that hard or difficult to understand. It's not so far off that you can't grasp it. It's not in heaven that you should say, "Who's going to go to heaven and bring it down for us so that we can hear it and do it?" It's not beyond the sea. It's not out of your reach in some far-fetched country that you should say, "Who's going to go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" Verse 14, "But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." And I believe that's where the Apostle Paul stops it right there. And he talks about, I believe it's in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, the word that's near us, he said, it's the word of faith which we preach, or the truth that's in Jesus Christ. And the part that I want you to hear this evening and just get in your spirit is verses 19 and 20. It says, "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live." This is also speaking about to us in Jesus Christ, not just our children, our heritage that we have naturally, but also our spiritual heritage that we have in the Lord when God uses us to minister the gospel to other people, as Paul referred to Timothy as his son in the faith. So it's talking about that the word of God is to continue through your life, and if you're a parent and you have children, it's to continue in their lives and their lives and their lives. And if you are, and as believers in Jesus, when we minister to somebody else and they come to know Jesus Christ, that they also become our spiritual descendants, as Timothy was to Paul. And he says that he wants what? He wants their descendants to live. And right here in verse 20, it says that you may love the Lord your God and may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord your God swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them. Now, most of you, if you have an understanding of Scripture and some of these things that I'm about to say this evening, remember when Peter, his second message in the book of Acts, chapter 3, he goes in and begins giving this long dissertation how this lame man was healed. And he was saying that how the lame man was healed, that if you repent, you can become converted also. In other words, you're not physically sick, but you're spiritually sick, and this is how you can receive life or health spiritually. And he goes on and he begins sharing with these Jewish people that had gathered around because of this lame man's healing, how they could all become healed spiritually. And at the end of his message, the last two verses of Acts chapter 3, he gives the spiritual meaning of what God gave Abraham, the blessing of Abraham that was going to come upon all mankind, and he gives the meaning of Genesis chapter 12, and he takes this portion of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and 18, Genesis 18, verse 18, and he tells us what the spiritual meaning or what God had intended from that very time that he called Abraham, what his end purpose was going to be. And this is how he closes out his message. In verse 25 of Acts chapter 3, "You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And so Peter here, by revelation of the Lord, is going to give us the spiritual understanding how every family on the earth can be blessed. To you first, meaning to the Jews first, and we also know that it's to the Gentiles, because later on the Gentiles come into salvation. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. See, this is how all the families of the earth can be blessed. He sent him to bless you. How can every person on the face of this planet be blessed? It's because of what Jesus Christ has done. In turning everyone away, every one of you away from your iniquities. This is how people are blessed. This is how we come into the blessing of God. This is how we come into everything that God has for us. The very thing, when God spoke to Abraham and told him to get out of his family's house and to depart to a land that he would show him. And those that would bless him would be blessed, and those that would curse him, they would be cursed. And that in you, all the families of the earth would be blessed. That God was looking down through the generation, through the thousands of years, when his son Jesus Christ would come and die on the cross to pay the price for mankind's sin. That is how every person, that is how each person is blessed of God. And we're going to look at that subject this evening. We're going to look at what God's word says about being blessed. And we have to have an understanding, and we should be able to walk away this evening with the knowing, I am the blessed of the Lord. I am a child of God, and because I'm a child of God in Jesus Christ, therefore I am blessed. And God himself has blessed me. The moment that Jesus Christ finished what he needed to finish, the blessing was available. It was placed into you the moment you said yes to Jesus. And a lot of us, through ignorance of God's word, or not understanding God's word, or our past or our present circumstances, or life itself, or the devil's deception that tries to get in there and mess with our thinking or mess with God's word that we may know, try to rob us of what God has already invoked for us. And so we have a choice here, and it says the choice that he has set before us. Well, all of us, if life and death are set before us, we're going to choose life. We're going to choose blessing. As the result of choosing life, we have new life in Jesus Christ. I have come to, that you might have life, Jesus said, and that you might have it in its fullness, in its full expression. And as a result of Jesus giving his life so that we could have eternal life, the moment the gift of eternal life was imparted to us, there was an invocation of God that was spoken directly into our spirit. And we'll look at that this evening. Over here, since we're over here in the Old Testament, I would like for you to hear a couple of verses. I thought I was just going to teach this evening on Psalm 115. It's such a beautiful, beautiful psalm on blessing. I just want to read a couple of verses here out of Psalm 115. Let me start here with, I'll just read verses. I mean, there's so many great things here. I'll just read verses 15 to 18. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. It's actually the direct translation. If you look it up, it's actually the word hallelujah that he ends with. It says, you blessed by the Lord. If you're reading in the, see up there, the New King James Version, it does not show you that if you have a New King James Version, does anybody here just have a regular King James Version? Not the New King James? Yes, just the old one. Can you read what verse 15 says? Guy switched it right over. The direct translation is so much better here in the King James Version than in the New King James. If you have a New King James, you'll notice in verse 15 the word may and be are italicized. So those who were interpreting the New King James Version, they put the word may in there, indicating it's conditional. But here, when you read it in the King James Version and you look it up in the original language, the word may is not there. It just says, you are blessed of the Lord, period. You are the blessed of the Lord. And you have to understand that as a child of God or the children of God or the children of Israel, because of covenant, remember when a male child came into the world, at the end of the eighth day, they had to be circumcised. The moment that child was circumcised and the covenant was established within their flesh, they were the blessed of the Lord, period. It's just that the enemy and circumstances and situations try to get in there and mess up what God has conveyed upon them, okay? In other words, what God has spoken cannot be reversed. It can be thwarted. Unbelief can get in there and mess it up, like I said earlier, but it still doesn't change the fact or the truth that you are the blessed of the Lord. And that's what he's conveying here, that you are the blessed of the Lord. And we have to realize that, you know when I, the other day on the 700 Club, they had once again on there Hugh Ross. And if you ever get a chance to read any of the stuff that Hugh Ross wrote, he's an astrophysicist and astronomer. And it's amazing all the different things that he has researched and studied over these past decades concerning the universe. And from his study of the universe, that everything that is out there is to keep this planet in perfect balance to sustain life on this planet. It's just mind-blowing. He has a book out. If you get a chance to read it, you can probably get a copy at the library if you don't want to buy it. The Improbable Planet, this little insignificant planet, this little tiny planet of all, it says that it's continuing to expand the universe. But the center of it, the pupil of it, the eye of it is here, is this planet here. Planet Earth is the pupil of God's creation. And we on it are what? The apple or the pupil of God's eye. His eye is on mankind. That everything that exists that we see out there that our naked eye can see or the best telescope can see, it's all because of man. God desired to make planet Earth, to put you on it, and to put me on it, for us to be able to know who he is, to walk with him, to know him, to love him, to serve him, and to dwell with him forever. That plan, and we know it got messed up in the beginning, it has been restored in Jesus Christ, and we have yet to know and to experience all that God has for us. And as the result of us, the blessed of the Lord, of us, the favored of God, of us as the word bless here and throughout this entire Psalm 115, it talks about God's favor he causes upon us. It talks about God's goodness upon us and expressed over us. It even speaks, this word bless even speaks about the word celebrate, that there's actually a celebration of God over us. And I'm reminded at the end of creation, when man was created on the sixth day, all the other days of creation, God said, and behold, it was good, and behold, it was good. And after the very last act, the pinnacle of his creation, when he created man, and he ended it with, it is very good. And everything else before that, all that God had called into being, all those 6 days of creation, but the very end of it, the very last day of it, it was all for us. It was a planet made especially for us to dwell on. And all those things had to come before, and then we were created at the very end, because this is the planet God created us to know him in, to walk with him in, to enjoy him in, and to be blessed by him in. And as a result of that, when we just begin getting a taste of how God, his favors toward us, his goodness is toward us, that he even celebrates over us, that we cannot help, when we start understanding just a little bit of God's blessing upon our life, we cannot help but to return and invoke that blessing back upon him, as it says here. But we will bless the Lord. And how long will we do this? It's just a regular part of our life. The more that we know him, the more that we thank him. The more that we understand of him, the more that we love him. Remember in Deuteronomy 30, it says, you shall love the Lord your God. And the more that I find out about the fullness of Jesus Christ. You know, just the other day I was ministering to somebody, and they were going through a difficult time of a present circumstance that had happened within their life, and just having a hard time, facing the circumstance and getting through the circumstance. And it was real, It was painful. It was horrible, kind of like what I told you about when I lost my son. I called it horrific grace. It was absolutely horrific, right? But the grace of God, the favor of God, the keeping power of God, the blessing of God during that horrific time, I will forever bless him throughout all eternity. And so God can take very horrific things. But if we don't have an understanding of all that Jesus Christ has secured for us on the cross, all of the curse, all of the horrific things, all of the trauma, all of, no matter what life will end up putting in our path, or no matter whatever we may have experienced, what we may be experienced or yet to experience, all the horrificness of it, all the pain of it, all the tragedy of it, any tragedy that's going on in this world has been already laid upon Jesus Christ. It's already been paid, but at times we don't have an understanding of that. Sometimes we have a hard time at the present moment when the feelings are raw and the emotion is high. We have a hard time at that moment when the soul is just, I don't understand. What's going on here? You know, these type of things. You ever have those type of moments? That you're just kind of wondering what in the world's going on here, or you hear another horrible thing on the news, like, oh my gosh, when is this stuff going to end? Isn't it amazing that every experience was placed upon Jesus? Anything that had to do, anything that God never intended for mankind to experience that came in as a result of sin and Satan, Jesus took. But we know that, but he wants to come, he wants to bring us to the place of the exchange, of that which he took in exchange that we might have. And if we would start getting the understanding, the realization that no matter how deep the pain, how tragic the trauma, how depth the darkness, that it was completely experienced by Jesus himself, so that who he is now, so that the very presence that he himself enjoys, we can have that life imparted into that, that we can exchange. We can give that complete thing over to him, that we can have what he now enjoys. And for some of us, that is pretty hard thing to be able to realize that he has that experience for us. And I began relaying this truth to this person. And it was like it began to click. Something began to click. Oh, and the response was, I got it. I'm getting it. So we put up with too much. And we live in at times in a place far below what Jesus Christ has secured for us to live in because of the present circumstance or the past situation. We have a Savior. We have a Lord who conquered it all. And there is a way for us to triumph. There is a way for us to live from the secured blessing that Jesus Christ secured for us. So, having said that, Christine went on a conference recently, and she came back, or actually while she was there, she told me about this one lady, and this one lady relayed some things about well-known leaders falling away from the faith, departing from the faith, giving up on the faith. And it wasn't just the two that I had mentioned recently. Apparently, do you remember approximately how many different, you don't know the names, but how many, was there 4, 5, 6, 10, 20? How many people do you think that she, if she could have named, would have been named? Excuse me? 5 or 6 well-known people that we don't even know of yet, that are leaders that have like, forget this Jesus stuff. I'm done with Jesus. And walking away. You see, there's a passage that Jesus spoke of that he knew he was going to be smitten. He knew that he was going to be smitten. When the shepherd, it's a prophecy that needed to be fulfilled by Jesus himself. When the shepherd is smitten, the sheep will disperse. And Jesus said, it's going to happen. Peter, you're not the only one that this is going to happen to. All of you are going to forsake me because the prophecy needs to be fulfilled. Well, I also see a demonic element in the day and age in which we are living in, where the enemy is trying to smite leaders' faith. Because if he can get at a leader of an organization, a leader of a church, a head of a household, anybody who's got a forefront ministry where they're standing out in the front, if he can get to them, then the people under them, not everybody, but a lot of them under them, like I once heard when a person that I knew that was a pastor that fell, and I remember speaking to a lady after this guy fell and walked away from the Lord, I just remember her looking at me, "Mark, if he can't make it, none of us can." Because to know a person that taught the Word of God and had revelation that shared the gospel on the street and held open campaigns and didn't have a shy bone in his body, stand up on park benches, taught me how to open air evangelize, to just forget this, I'm done. And she's like, "Is there any hope for us? Is there any hope for us?" I just remember looking at her right in the eye. I said, "Our eyes aren't on that person. Our eyes are on the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "We'll pray for that individual. We'll pray that that person come back to the Lord." That person has come back to the Lord. It took many decades. That person has come back to the Lord. To the place that he once was, no. But he has come back to the Lord. Okay? I said, do not, your faith is not in him. Your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where your eyes have to be. Your eyes have to be, because there is, as the Word of God tells us, there is going to be a falling away, a departing from the faith. Now, Paul said there's going to be a departing from the faith. Now, we don't know how many of those that will depart will come back, because people do. But when the departure happens, it affects a people's lives. And we have to realize that. We have to realize that it will affect people's lives. And that's why in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus is going on, and we know that we are in these times of trouble. We know there's birth pangs that have been going on. I even heard one guy say the other day, one or two of the horses of the apocalypse have already been released. He really believes that we're really coming into the thick of it. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it's spoken of here when Jesus picks it up, when he makes it more personal to the church, when he makes it more personal to believers that will be on the planet at that time, before his second coming or before the rapture of the church. And in verse 9, it says, "They will deliver you," speaking about believers, "they will deliver you up to tribulation." This is Matthew 24, verse 9. And it says, "And they will kill you." Well, it was no different in the beginning of the book of Acts. When you read the book of Acts, that we see that people were persecuted unto death. Matter of fact, Saul was one of those who persecuted the church unto death. And it says, "And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." There is coming such a hostility. There's such a hostility to Christians because there is something that we say that is very offensive to people. The thing that's very offensive is there's only one way to salvation. There's only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ, to the exclusion of everything else. And people are being hated for the exclusivity that we say. I mean, bigots, intolerant, not open-minded, narrow, archaic. What you believe is something from a book that's 2,000 years old. You know, you need to get on the bandwagon of what's taking place today. So there's actually an extreme hatred that is coming from the world, and it's all put out there by Satan himself. Satan is behind this hatred, this loathing, especially of Christians. He can't stand mankind in general, but he definitely can't stand anybody who's a Christian. He really can't stand anybody that's unashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "And then many will be offended." In other words, when this attack begins coming, or when somebody tries to reason with you, "Well, you know, it can't be that bad. I mean, look, they love each other. It can't be wrong with what they're doing." In other words, there's a reasoning that begins coming in. Something begins happening. And when it talks here, "And many will be offended and betray one another, and will hate one another," that once people that were lovers of God will have a hatred of those that they were once joined together with. A hatred meaning indicating that they once embraced the truth that we embrace, but there comes a point in time that they reject that truth, Well, it's okay with you, but I don't believe that anymore. You have to remember, you know, yes, it can be a very confrontational hatred at times, but hatred is also embracing a lie and rejecting the truth. It goes on to tell us in the book of James how God looks at hatred is just friendship with the world. Friendship with the world is hatred toward God. And so all you have to do is look at that somebody who has departed from the faith and embraced something other than the Word of God is actually a hatred toward God or actually a hatred towards you. Okay? Now, let's go on here. It says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. People that are deceived want something to believe in, want something to side with, want something to... I can't be the only one that feels like this, and there will be someone that will rise up with a ecumenical Jesus, with an easy believe in Jesus, with an all-inclusive Jesus, or an all-inclusive type of salvation or type of Savior that will affirm their message of denying the strictness or the truth that's in Jesus Christ, and they're a prophet. And they'll be very charismatic, they'll be very wise with their words, and they will be very cunning and drawing with their words. And it says they will have a deceptive influence over many. And verse 12 says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Once again, you've heard me say this recently, this word love here is agape, and it talks about people who once fervent for the Lord, they start growing cold, they start becoming bitter. They start blaming, they start pointing the finger that once they were fervent for the things of the Lord, they are no longer fervent for the things of the Lord. But it says here in verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. I really believe you have to read verse 13 with verse 14. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, remember gospel means what? Good news. Good news of the kingdom. We have a message of Jesus Christ, how one can enter into the kingdom of God or become God, part of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom, people are in the kingdom of darkness. People are in the kingdom of the God of this world. It says that, I believe it's in Colossians chapter 1, it says we have been conferred or translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so there is a kingdom that everybody's a part of. There is a Father that everybody's a part of. Whether it be Father God, or as Jesus told those Jews who rejected his word, he says, you're of your father, the devil. So there's two spiritual fathers, and there's two kingdoms. Okay? And everybody on this planet is in one of those two kingdoms, and they are under the Father of those two kingdoms. And it says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Or he who endures or stays with the full gospel truth and teaching of that kingdom. Okay, it's just not sitting there talking about just grinning and getting through it. It's talking about a faith life. It's talking about a complete life of faith. That we've embraced the gospel of this kingdom, so therefore we've embraced the teaching of this kingdom. And we are people who don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We are people who believe in what God's word says. This is how you're going to be able to endure. You've got to know the word of God, hold to that word, and realize that God is your Father. You are under his care. You are under his protection. You are under his blessing. He's got you. Nothing is going to happen unless he allows it to happen to you. Your endurance is going to be because you know the truth, you know the promises, you know the teachings, and you're not going to move from them. See, a person who doesn't have an understanding or a full grasp of what God's word has to say, then they can be led aside. They can be led astray. But a person who's, the word endurance talks about consistency. It talks about being level. It talks about not being up and down like a yo-yo. It talks about you know what you believe and why you believe it and you're not letting go of it. There's something strong. There's something steadfast. There's something inside you that won't budge. And these are the people that we have to be. And hopefully through this teaching that we'll look at, being blessed of the Lord, you're going to have an understanding with inside your spirit what God has spoken about you, what God has spoken into you, it cannot be reversed. It cannot be reversed. And we're going to look at why. Okay? And I got real excited when I was looking at this today. I was just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I want to get to the point. I want you to get to the point. Jesus comes alongside of us all the time. I believe that there's a lot of things that he's trying to communicate to us. There's a lot of things that he's wanting to make known to us. And as we looked recently at Luke chapter 24, the two people, one say it was a husband and wife, others say it was two men, but two were on the road to Emmaus. They had an understanding about Jesus the prophet. They had an understanding that they thought that he was the one that was going to restore all things to Israel. They had an understanding and even a knowledge. He went to the cross and he was buried. They even heard that he resurrected from the dead, but only the women saw him. Nobody else saw him. And it says they were sad. They were sad. And they went away from Jerusalem sad. They knew a truth. They had the gospel preached to them. They'd seen the miracle life of Jesus. They experienced the good crucifixion. They knew he was buried. They had heard the women's testimony that he had resurrected from the dead, but they themselves didn't. So they went away sad. I believe that there's a lot of people in the body of Christ who know a bulk of truth, but because they haven't experienced the reality personally of that truth, they are in a saddened state. That they are in a state or a condition spiritually. Ever been around a Christian that's just kind of defeated? They know all these things, but their present thing that they're going, yeah, I know that Jesus died. I know that, you know, he did miracles then. And, you know, I do believe that he rose from the dead, but I'm not experiencing it. I'm not seeing it. And they're sad. And I believe that God is trying to bring people out of that saddened condition. And Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, through his word, is visiting many people. Because he does not want a believer to stay there. He will not allow us to live there. Over there in Luke, let me just pick it up where I just left off in Luke 24. I just want you to hear, because these are some of the things that I've been experiencing recently. And I tell you, pray for leaders. Pray for anybody that has a leadership position, whether it be somebody working in the nursery, Sunday school, standing up here teaching, anybody that you know doing a home Bible study, you will come under attack. And I tell you what, the attacks are very real, and they can be very heavy at times. But I'm here to tell you that God's greater. That God's greater than any attack. And it goes on here to say that, I just want to pick up what they were sad. Where was that, Lord? I know that I read that today. Oh, yeah. Jesus draws near to these guys. And verse 15, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. They did not know it was Jesus walking with them. Jesus said to them in verse 17 here, it says, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? So here they had this understanding. If you just go and just read, you know, as it goes on here, that he was a prophet, he was mighty in deed and word, and he goes on and talks about how they crucified, you know, they condemned him and condemned to death and crucified him in verse 20. It's been the third day since these things happened. Now certain women of our company arrived at the tomb and they were astonished. They did not find his body. Came saying, that they had seen the vision of angels and that he was alive. But still, look at, they had the full gospel truth, but yet they were sad. It wasn't made real to them. And there's so many people that know a truth about Jesus Christ. And they even know some of the things that Jesus Christ has done and has secured for them. And there's some things that they understand about the promises of God and their place in Jesus Christ, and they know all these things because they have heard them. And God is wanting to take everything that we have heard, everything that we have learned, and he wants to remove anything of unbelief or sadness or anything of that truth that is not the power or the love of that truth. He's wanting to remove it from our lives. And I know that in these days that we are living in, there is a visitation of the Holy Spirit that is taking place to many people's lives. And we have to be careful that just as those blind men or blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by, he knew the nearness of Jesus. He heard that Jesus was there. He could not see him. He could not sense him. All he had was a word given to him that Jesus was passing by. What did he begin to do? He began to cry out loud. Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. He's busy. He cried out the louder. Son of David. So here he was in a blind state, but he knew Jesus was near. He heard, but he wanted to grasp. How many have heard and you want to grasp? And so there's things that are going to have to rise up on the inside of you. I will know what God has for my life. I will experience what God has said that my life is supposed to experience. I will know what God wants me to know. Not just hear, I'm going to know and experience what God's word says. And so Jesus begins to open up to them. He calls them foolish ones, that these things were supposed to have happened in verse 26. Ought not the Christ to have suffered and these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so even then, Jesus is revealing himself from the word of God. And one of the greatest keys that you're going to have to know that in hearing the voice of God better, as I've been sharing on Sunday, you're going to have to know the scriptures. The only way to keep yourself from deception, self-deception, being deceived by other people, you've got to know what's here. And you have to know the revelation of the truth that it's always pointing to Jesus. Whatever you're learning, it should not be pointing to an organization. It should not be pointing to a man. It should be giving you a greater depth of understanding of who the Father is, of who Jesus is. It should just be bringing you closer and closer to Jesus himself. And it's, once again, put my glasses back on here. No squinting. It says that Jesus stayed with them. It was coming to the end of the day. In verse 30, it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. You know, sometimes it's good to be studious. It's good to study. I'm studious. I study. I love digging into the Word of God. I love going into the root words of things and finding out the full depth of it. I love chasing down references when I'm making a study like this one here. Today I must have read every passage in the New Testament that had to do with the word blessed, blessing. Anything at all that made reference to it. The word happy at sometimes. And then you have to stand back. You have to break bread with the Lord. You have to sit there and, you know, Lord, I've got this, I've got all these things written out here. And I've jotted this down. I've jotted this reference down. And I just sit back and I just begin talking to him. I begin breaking bread with Jesus. I begin communicating with him. You know, how much this is for me and what is it you want relayed here this evening? And then all of a sudden things begin coming to me and I was like, oh, that's pretty. I get another notepad out and I just start jotting some things down. You see, Jesus wants not just you to have an intellectual understanding, as I gave you those two prayers a couple weeks ago on that back table there, those personalized prayers from Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. And one of the prayers from Ephesians chapter 3 that the Lord wants to get us past just mere intellectual knowledge. He wants us to get to the experience, the reality of what he's trying to communicate. He wants it to be real, living love of God. He wants us to know that it's as if God himself is with us. You know, he is with us, but willing to sit down and communicate and give us understanding to the things that we need understanding of. To be able to grasp the things that you and I need to grasp. That just mere intellectual knowledge is not going to get it. But when we sit there and think, And the Holy Spirit, begin opening up my understanding. Begin speaking right now to my heart and to my life of these things that you're trying to communicate. What is it? I know you gave me this word. You gave me this word blessed today. And I know there's something you're wanting to share with me and some things that you're wanting to share with your people here this evening. So I'm just wanting to feast with you. I'm just wanting to offer this back up to you, Lord God. I offer all these things back up to you that you yourself would cause it to be multiplied in truth, in sustenance, back to my life. And it goes on here to say, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us, I'm really hoping that there will be a time that in your life, as you're communing with the Lord, as you're in the Word of God, that the burning reality of it is going to be made known to you. Just not an intellectual pursuit, just not that you can repeat it, but it has become like a fire in your bones, a living part of your life, that you know you've communed with the living God, that you've had time with the Lord, and you knew it was time with the Lord. It wasn't a figment of your imagination. It was a real touching God moment. And it's impacted you. It's changed you on the inside. And if we begin looking at this from what it says over here, let's go to Ephesians right now. There was one verse that I really focused in on before coming over here this evening. Ephesians is such a great and wonderful book. I remember years ago when I was asking Pastor Bill about, you know, I'd like to start somewhere in Paul's epistles. I said I got a really good working knowledge of the Gospels. I've read them so many times. And then he just stayed with God's Electric Power Company for a while. God's Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. He says, just stay in there. And I said, oh, that's pretty cool. God's Electric Power Company. He says, you want to get powered up, you want to get charged up, you want to get the meat. A lot of what Paul taught, he says, stay there. He says, you'll understand works versus grace. You'll understand the blessings that we have in the Lord and all that Jesus Christ has done for us in the spiritual realm of what he has done for us and what he has secured for us. Okay. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to read all together verses 1 through 7. And then I'll back up to verse 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. In other words, God chose Paul to be an apostle. Notice he never calls himself Apostle Paul. He calls himself Paul, and it's what Jesus called him to be. To the saints, to the holy ones in Ephesus. Remember the word saints there? Is that Greek word hagios, which is the same word in front of the word Holy Spirit. It's, you know, that word holy? It's that same word that is spoken of you. To the holy ones who are in Ephesus. And faithful, those who are remaining faithful, staying with and in Christ Jesus. Grace, God's favor, God's blessing, God's ability, God's power, and peace, and union, and communion from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice in verse 3 here, the word blessed is used three times, and hopefully it doesn't look like I'm going to probably be able to get into it this evening, but there's three blessed here, and they each have a different Greek number, but they all come from the same word. It's just a different tense and the different way that the word is spoken. A lot of times when you look up in the Greek, you'll notice that there's a different way that the word applies to human beings, and there's a different way that it's applied to God. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, this is the second one, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him, this is the mind-blowing passage right here. See, this is one of those passages that show us of the hugeness or greatness of God. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before the world was founded. Now, you just got to think, before there was any matter, physical matter, before there was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. there was a knowing of us. That is just, that it should just cause your mind to soar and just see how great and wonderful your Heavenly Father is. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined or determined ahead of time, having determined ahead of time for us what? To adoption as sons or children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. You know, just right there, just real quick, because I'm not going to be able to get in depth to this what I wanted to finish with here this evening. But when you see here that He's made us accepted in the Beloved, you know, this word Beloved is the same word that's spoken of Jesus. This is my Beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. It says, we have been welcomed in the Beloved. And it's just, you know, Jesus the head, and it says that we're the body, or we're the church of Jesus Christ, that we have been welcomed in to the very one that God Himself said, this is my Beloved Son. That you yourself are welcomed with that same Beloved statement. And it's just to know that you're accepted. There's so many people that have a spirit of rejection on them, that they've experienced so much rejection from this world. They've grown up in a state of rejection. They always second guess themselves, that they're never sure. They never want. They never make decisions. There's at times that I don't want to do anything because I don't want someone to say that I'm doing something wrong, so I'm just not going to make any major decisions. It just all boils back to a spirit of rejection. Sometimes it'll come up in your life that there's something that you want to do and somebody else is involved. Or you want to go out to dinner. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? And somebody may, and you might, oh, for the love of whatever. Make up your mind. And someone may say, well, let's go to Sonny's. Ah, I don't want to go there. And then all of a sudden, at times, you'll see it in the person's face. They take it so personal. Nobody was wanting to make a decision. This person makes a decision, and then the decision is rejected. And if, yeah, I know I don't want to go there. Oh, I don't want to go there. Well, you said, make up your mind. You said, make a decision. I made a decision. And all of a sudden, this spirit of rejection starts coming to the surface. And they don't even realize it's there. And so the next time it comes, I'm not making it. The last time I said something, you guys all said no. And we don't realize at times how deep-seated rejection can be in a person's spirit. But when you know that you're beloved and accepted by God, it doesn't matter the rejection that comes your way because you have a higher acceptance. When you know that see, this spirit of rejection came from the garden. When Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden by God, this rejection, what God had planned for them, what He had secured for them, the place that He had placed them in. They were welcomed by God. They were accepted by God. They were provided for by God. There wasn't any need that they had. Everything was given. And because of the fall, you know, rejection, insecurity. People want to be safe. And you know, and people feel unsafe. Some people feel so unsafe, you know, they just some kind of noise outside, they're out there, you know, ooh, what's going on? And you know, and all that has been restored in Jesus Christ. Provision has been restored in Jesus Christ. Acceptance has been restored in Jesus Christ. Provision has been restored in Jesus Christ. All that was lost in the garden has been restored to us in Jesus Christ, but many believers don't know it. We still at times care too much what other people think. And because we care so much about what other people think, even to the point where we can care so much what a person thinks about us and almost reject how God thinks about us. We have to be careful of that. But once you have a complete acceptance, once you have an understanding that God has welcomed you, that God has accepted you through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you have become His child, it is so freeing to be able to say, hey, I want to go to Sonny's. And everybody else says, no, fine. Where do you want to go then? And just be okay. Not get upset. Not bark back. If you find yourself barking back, There is a rejection thing taking place there because you're trying to defend self. You're trying to defend the choice that you just made. And sometimes we get upset and sometimes, well, you said. That's that spirit of rejection trying to protect itself. We have to be careful of these things. And that's why we have these teachings here. That God wants us free from the things that Jesus Christ has secured for us to be liberated from. Secured for us to be liberated from. And that's why do I teach next Wednesday? Okay, so next Wednesday we'll pick back up here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Because there is something here there's a grasping here that you have to really know. Because it says, it talks about there's an adoration and a praise and acknowledgement and an invocation of good that we do upon God. As it says, blessed be God. That is what we do to him. But it goes on here and says, who has blessed us, a past tense bestowal, something God has bestowed upon us. It says, with every spiritual blessing. And that's the part that I really want to focus in on the next time that we're here. And if you want to do a little word study, look up the word spiritual and then look up the word blessing and do your own little word study on it. And you'll see how that word for spiritual is used in many different places. But in this particular reference here, you're going to see, especially if you get into the lexicon, which gives more in depth about how that word is used in this particular passage, it is referring to our spirit man. It is referring to, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In other words, that in our spirit, when we were reborn, when we were recreated, when we were made new, the blessing of God was, at that moment, was conveyed immediately upon when we were born of God. There was a blessing of God that was conveyed. And we'll find out the next time we get together, when even in the Old Testament, now we'll look at one or two instances in the Old Testament, when a blessing was given, when that father bestowed that blessing, it couldn't be reversed. It couldn't be taken back. Once it proceeded out of the mouth to that child, it remained there. It's there. And that's a truth that you're going to have to know. You see, no matter what you do, no matter the choices that you make, there has been a blessing that has been placed inside your spirit when you were saved. It was imparted into you, not in your soul, not in your mind, your thinking. That's where we have to come to understand the truth of what this is talking about, so that our minds can become renewed to it, so that our past experiences are going to have to be healed and accept what has been bestowed upon us in our spirit. And God wants to give us an understanding. See, this is what I would refer to for myself. It's a spiritual mystery key that we have to latch upon, because I know, as I said Sunday morning, we all want to hear God better. But if we don't know some of these certain truths or these things that are actually covered in Scripture that God wants us to dig out, he wants us to have an understanding of what this spiritual blessing, this blessed spiritual blessing is. And have an understanding, once it has been conveyed to us, it's the honor of kings to search a matter out. And God wants you to search these matters out. He wants you to have an understanding of the totality of Jesus' sacrifice for sin, his death as a result of it, his resurrection for justification or for righteousness, and his ascension to the Father's right hand, where dominion, honor, and authority were bestowed upon him. A lot of times we focus on what was done at the cross, but we don't focus enough on the justification or the righteousness, nor do we focus on the ascendedness. When Jesus sat down, the authority and dominion that was conveyed to him has also been conveyed to us. And there's things that he wants us to grasp with these things. We need to have a combination understanding of all three, the true authority of Jesus Christ in the believer's life. And we're going to take our time and look at some of these things. Because for us to hear God better, we have to have these truths known to us and revealed in us and be living from them. Amen? And so I hope you're kind of excited with this. I am. I only got through just a small portion here, but I really believe this is just part of just what God wanted spoken, and that you yourself are going to begin having some God moments where you're going to sense a... When I talk about... When the Word talks about their heart burned like, you know, with inside them, like fire, when He spoke to us. In other words, it touched their lives in a real way. It touched their lives in a real way. It wasn't just intellectual knowledge that they had already repeated to Jesus. But when Jesus actually met with them and started relaying to them all the prophecies of these things that had to come to pass, there was a touching of truth with inside them. Oh, I see. There was an actual voice of God, Jesus Himself, communicating and touching something real within them. It just wasn't something repeated. It wasn't intellectual knowledge that they were repeating to Jesus. It was Jesus Himself making Himself known and real to them. It says He was made known. He was made known. Jesus Himself was made known. Just not understanding of the Scriptures, but an actual contact was made. A reality, a substance connection. A reality connection. And that's where I believe that God wants to get more of you and myself into this place. So Heavenly Father, I thank You for these things that we've touched on here this evening. You give us that choice, Lord God, in Deuteronomy. You give us that choice, Lord. And we know, Lord God, we were born in death. We don't want death. We don't want cursing. And so we thank You, Father, for what You allowed to be done through Your Son, Jesus Christ. From the very first time that You met and spoke with Abraham, You released a prophecy into his life that would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that we today, here in this room, at this present time, would be part of that Abrahamic community, that Abrahamic family, that family of faith, that prophecy, that in You, all the families of the earth would be blessed, that You were speaking of Your Son, Jesus Himself, and that we are truly blessed because of Jesus Christ. Give us an understanding, Lord God, of the invocation that when a blessing is spoken, give us an understanding that when You have said something over our lives, it cannot be repealed, it cannot be revoked. It comes from You and it is permanent, Lord. Doesn't mean we have to have faith in it. Doesn't mean that we live up to its expectation. But Lord God, we desire to do so. We desire to know the fullness of what You have for our lives. And that we will be a people that model these truths, Lord God, as You Yourself, Jesus, did. And You tell us that as You are, so are we to be in this world, Lord. And so we desire, Lord God, to be a people of increased faith, a people that are not timid, Lord God, to secure what You have delightfully bestowed upon us, cheerfully bestowed upon us. So we thank You, Lord God, just for this little introduction here this evening. We bless You, we thank You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.